Tired of the hassle and risks of manual fruit cutting? Let me introduce our partners over at Supercut System, the automated solution that enhances safety, quality, and efficiency. Cut up to 120 perfect citrus wedges per minute, 6 times faster than manual. Patented technology delivers consistent slices, reducing waste and eliminating plastic. The contactless hygienic design lowers contamination risk and workplace injuries. Supercut integrates seamlessly for any volume, improve profitability and customer experience. Experience the power of automation with Supercut. Get started today at supercut.com and be sure to ask about their risk-free trials.
Elevate your dining experience with Rack Porcelain USA. As the exclusive tableware brand for the Walk and Talk podcast, Rack combines exceptional craftsmanship with innovative design. Whether you're a chef, a restaurant owner, or a food enthusiast, Rack's high-quality porcelain products will enhance every meal. Discover the artistry of food presentation and make every dining occasion special. Visit RackPorcelain.com today and see how Rack can transform your table. Chefs and food buyers, let me tell you about a product that will generate new excitement on your menu. Fully cooked, pasture-raised, all-natural Australian lamb from Aussie Select. Their award-winning, handcrafted, innovative products are blended with the finest spices and amazing flavors. Options include agave rosemary, tikka masala, lamb pastrami, and lamb prime rib roast. Available sliced or whole with a long shelf life too. Find out more at AussieSelect.com.
Tired of the hassle and risks of manual fruit cutting? Let me introduce our partners over at Supercut System, the automated solution that enhances safety, quality, and efficiency. Cut up to 120 perfect citrus wedges per minute, 6 times faster than manual. Patented technology delivers consistent slices, reducing waste and eliminating plastic. The contactless hygienic design lowers contamination risk and workplace injuries. Supercut integrates seamlessly for any volume. Improve profitability and customer experience. Experience the power of automation with Supercut. Get started today at supercut.com and be sure to ask about their risk-free trials.
Hello, food fam. This is the Walk and Talk podcast, and I am your host, the Carl Fiadini. All right, let me ask you this. What do Mike Tyson, Ric Flair, Future, Tiger Woods, what do these cats have in common? I'll tell you what they have in common. Delicious nutrition. Chef Sean Champ is on deck. We're going to talk about it. Let's dig in. But first, attention chefs and food buyers. Are you looking to improve your proteins program with quality and service by the best in the beef business? Reach out to Peninsula Food Service. With 25 butchers on staff, their services will dazzle you and impress your dining guests. Peninsula, yeah, Peninsula, is the largest Creekstone Farm distributor in the Southeast United States. Let the gang at Peninsula Food Service cut your beef burdens away. Ask about their dry-aged program. Look them up at peninsulafood.com. Ah, yeah, Chef Jeffrey Schlissel of the Hollywood Schlissels. How the hell are you, my man?
I'm moving on up, dude.
You are moving on up to the top.
To the deluxe apartment.
In the sky. I love it, man. Let's just jump into this because I'm on fire right now. I'm on fire.
I know.
Okay. And first of all, you made some sexy dishes. What are they?
So
you're not saying it fast enough.
Yeah. I have to make sure it's soft and sultry because you like that.
Well, I want you to jump in quick, but say it nice and
loud. Oh, okay. So when I was a young lad growing up, I was working at a place called Casa Bella. It was on Dania Beach Boulevard in US 1.
Oh, I know where
it used to be the old Never on Sunday.
Yeah, I remember that place.
So they used to own a restaurant called Pastanash, and I used to work down there as well in Miami.
Yes.
So they had a chef ready rack at all times, and the servers would used to sell like a veal chop. He would split it, he'd sell it stuffed, and so on and so forth. I had these beautiful pork chops, and I was like, I've got a hankering for some veal chops. I can't find veal chops here.
Hankering?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
it ruined the whole show.
I was hangry for veal chops.
You ruined the whole show.
I always do.
Okay.
But it's okay. So what I did was I took the pocket, made an incision in it, and filled it with some spinach, Meyer lemon, and then some burrata. And then I put a Meyer lemon.
Wait. Say burrata slaw.
Burrata.
Oh, yeah.
And I stuffed the middle of it, and then I seared it. After searing it, I glazed it with Meyer lemon preserve, pistachio powder, and pistachio crunch. Served that with a garlic mashed potato puree, then grilled broccoli, and then pureed that. And then I set that up as a barrier around the pork chop, and then I used just the pan drippings with a little bit of cream sherry. My God, that thing ate like so beautifully. When you have a Duroc pork chop, there's something about Duroc or Brookshire and Clare Buda. But Duroc to me is just one of those awesome ones. Yeah, give me that dry aged one.
I'm going to get you from Peninsula Food Service. I am going to get you a 14-day dry aged Duroc pork chop bone in, and you're going to do some dank sexy cooking on that thing.
But that's from Compart, correct? That's from Steve Countryman.
Yeah,
that stuff is that's illegal. That food Compart Duroc is illegal because it's so damn sexy.
It is what it is.
They definitely know what they're doing with some pork.
Man, I don't know. I think we should just close up shop after that.
Well, at least I brought pork with me today.
You did, bro, and you know what? Thank you.
Yeah,
thank you.
My pleasure, man. A little bourbon infused pork belly.
You're a real mensch.
Yes, I.
You know what I mean? I always try to bring it to your level, baby. I always try to bring
it. I feel you.
Excellent. All right, so. Are you excited about this?
Yeah, definitely. You know, I always looked forward to meeting chefs, and this guy seems like he's going to be one of the brothers from another mother. Yeah, he's shaking his head yes, so we're good to go.
So, you know, before we went live here, we were talking about, you know, Chef Sean Champ.
Mm-hmm. But you got to say it the right way.
Champagne.
Yeah, Champagne.
Champagne.
Mega sexy.
Sean, Chef, welcome to the program, my man. How are you?
I'm amazing, and now I'm a little bit turned on by the way that you just described that pork dish.
See where it went? Just right back.
It went there.
See how us chefs do it?
You had me at stuffed
bread. Yeah. Tell me. Can you say burrata one more time? Yeah.
Burrata. There is something about burrata that is just so goddamn sexy.
There's just something about the way you say it that's just so goddamn sexy.
That's good to him.
You know, that's... It's a weird show today. All right, so...
Isn't it weird all the time?
It is. So, Sean.
Yes.
We did each other a long time.
A long time.
Right?
Since I first came down, you were part of my first restaurant.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Am I too close?
No, you're good. Okay. You're golden, man.
You were part of my first restaurant.
Oh, man. How long has it been? 7 years?
7 years.
And he hasn't stopped stalking you since, right?
No. Mm-mm. It's kind of sexy.
We kind of fell off for a little bit. You know, I mean,
well, he disappeared.
Well, COVID.
I did definitely disappear.
COVID. All right. We'll go nostalgic here in a second. But all right. So you were before we went on the air, you were talking about Mike Tyson, Ric Flair, Future, the rapper, Tiger Woods. I mean, I don't know. It's kind of big names, bro. I don't know what you're like. How are you? What's the common denominator here?
So I think it's all genuine connection. First of all, I think in the restaurant, whether it be food or customer service, we always go for the genuine connection, right? And so I was able in 7 years to make genuine connections with some of like the greatest people, even like outside of them, Ja Rule, Nick Cannon. Yeah, I was just able to make genuine connections with people and give them what they want. And everybody wants good food. I think a lot of times we miss the correlation that food has with health. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, yeah, it's cool. We can eat it. But like even outside of like the diet aspect of it, the fact that food can control your mental, like from the moment that you smell it, you know, I think that's one of the things that set me apart and was that made me able to make those connections. And I've just been making them. And then I'm a hellraiser. Like, I take every chance. You know what I mean? And I think as chefs, that's what we do. You know what I mean? So
how did you, when we met, you were over at, the Godfrey over there in Rocky Point.
Was it Godfrey?
Yeah, that's where we met.
That was WTO.
Because I was with, that was when I was running the produce. Right. And Richard.
Yep. Rich Gallagher.
And he works for me over at the Peninsula now.
Does he?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
I still have Rich's number.
I know. He was supposed to be here today. He had to go down to Sarasota.
Okay.
I told him you were coming. He's like, oh, man.
Yeah. Hey. Rich was my guy.
Yeah. So so we met back then. You were there. And then you went off. You opened your own place.
Mm-hmm.
Right? COVID came.
Yep.
And then what happened? Where did you go? How come I'm name dropping these big names? That's what I want to know.
Okay. So WTR created a lot of connections. So WTR was like my first baby. I opened another restaurant with Nate Russell up in Sanford, but WTR was like, I put the hose in the pool, and like that was my baby. Designed the bar and everything. Me and Will Chamberlain and Danny Franco, who's up in New York now. But and through that, Mike Piper, Pied Piper Productions, was a big influence as far as like meeting these people and making these connections. Full transparency, like we go to the office, and the office is actually Dollhouse on West Shore. So,
but it's like, good office.
There was a lot of connections that was made there, and Mike Piper always stood behind me. Corey Raynor always stood behind me, and they wanted to make sure that I did what I wanted to do, but they wanted to keep me in the parameters of not doing too much. And so after WTR. We went to Old School. We opened up Old School. It was a great success until COVID. And then they shut us down on St. Patrick's Day, which was horrible. But after that, I just kind of just went on my own thing. It was just like, why not pull the trigger? You know what I mean? Like, you devote your life to this. And chefs are working 70 hours a week. You know what I mean? So why not pull the trigger and work 70 hours a week
for yourself?
That mm-hmm. part. And so I just started doing it. And I have a couple, like my cousin Jason Moore, he plays for the Los Angeles Chargers. So, like, I have a couple little shortcuts. But in all reality, it was just grind. Like, you come into culinary and you're not thinking, like, oh, this is going to be a lawyer's office or a doctor's office. I'm not doing a 9-to-5. You come in knowing that you're going to have to grind. And the grind is different than just getting a job in culinary. It's literally every day on your ass, missing holidays, missing family shit, and stuff. I'm sorry.
It's okay.
That's okay.
My bad. But like that's just the grind.
He
of
might
it.
Break your record.
That's not even so terrible.
It's 55.
Right. I guess
he's at two.
Did all I right. say two?
Yeah. It's okay. Don't worry about it. But who's counting?
Nobody's counting. I wasn't. Anyway, whatever. Go.
Yeah. Nah, so it's all about the grind, and I just took the grind and I just embraced it, and now I'm here.
So you started a company.
Yes.
Tell me about the company.
Just a Chef. So it's a Los Angeles-based company. And the focus of it is mental health. So myself, I fight with mental health. Clinically diagnosed, all the bells and whistles and all of that stuff. And by being that, or by being a mental patient, I'll call it a mental patient, I ain't shy. By being a mental patient, you start to realize that everybody in the kitchen is going through some type of mental something. And it doesn't matter if it's depression, anxiety. The reality of the situation is you spend more time with the people in the kitchen than you do with your family. And so as a father, I have two kids. So I have a son and a daughter. So as a father, me working 70 hours a week is taking 70 hours away from my kids. You know what I mean? And so eventually that'll have a toll on you. And every young chef, like, they might not get it yet, but we want to start preparing them for that. Because, like, that's just the reality that we're in. It's like the same thing, like, I'm not going to say it's the same thing, but it's similar to if a father goes overseas, right, to fight in the war. He's away from his kids, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? And so he's away from his family. He's away from a safe space. So, like, I want to make sure that we bring awareness to that. So we started Just a Chef, and Just a Chef focuses on the mental health aspect of it. It gives the resources. My sister, she actually just launched her company yesterday, the first, whatever the first was. It's called The Therapy Parlor. The Therapy Parlor.
Oh, my God. I know her.
Sheridan?
Yeah.
That's my sister.
I met her at CaterSource.
Damn. Yeah.
I did a presentation on mental health at CaterSource.
You know that it's true because look how high his voice got.
Yeah, like what?
That's your sister?
Yeah, it's my sister.
I had no... So she was supposed to be a part of the presentation, and I do presentations a little bit different. I don't do it on stage. I'm not that type. So I was in the audience, and I saw the shirt.
Yeah.
And... she was, you know, she ended up talking about it from the therapeutic side of it because she's a counselor.
Yeah.
What an awesome presentation that she actually ended up doing with me. Yeah. And here you are talking about that. Oh my God. That's my baby. Small world.
Yeah. That's my baby.
Oh, wow.
And
I'm
sorry that she lost it, but I mean, God, whatever we can do to help her out. My God.
Nah, she just came back. She just came back and just relaunched. She's doing really, really good right now. Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, walk
and talk, bring people together. Right? Yeah,
what the heck? So Therapy Parlor, and then like the goal would be to partner with my sister. Obviously, now she has her own thing, and obviously, I'm a rebellious jerk. So, I'll say it. So, But it'll come. And like, we just want to give therapy resources to chefs. We want to give therapy resources to cooks. Like, even all the way down to like the most important part of the kitchen, which would be our dishwashers, right? Like, we don't think that what we do, like, we just sling dishes in there and we just expect them to just do it. But we don't think about what they go through, like, on a regular basis. And so every kitchen that I'm in, I try to make sure that we take care of them because they are the base of it.
Well, I'll tell you what. Yeah. You never screw with the dishwasher.
Never.
No, they'll kill you. Mm. No, usually, we had a cat at a restaurant that I worked at. And I can't think of what his name is right now, but he was, first of all, he was ripped. And you know, he spent home away from home for a while. And but all he did was talk about, and there's nothing wrong with him talking about Jesus all the time, because I'm all about it. You know what I mean? But that's all, like, he if you walk by him, he was mumbling verses. And I just remember, like, what he would do, though, when somebody would do, like, you know, not put the silver in the tray with the thing, you know,
the sorter,
right? What would end up happening is when that server was coming through, he would kind of, like, you know, he hit him with the water, but it wasn't just the water. It was hitting that nasty sludge all up in that thing. And that's what was getting sprayed all over you, you know, and then he would just be smiling. So, crazy as a boom, and he would hit you with the thing. It was, you know.
I think,
but he would kill you. He would straight up kill you.
So it's crazy that you say that he spent time away from home. And so under the Just a Chef, we have felony cooks.
Yeah.
And felony cooks is something different than just job placement. So obviously we're a job placement company, but we want to make sure that felons are able to get housing, or felons are able to get loans and stuff. Oh, don't tap.
My don't butt. You be tapping. Tap.
My foot. I can't tap. I got yelled at, guys.
It's all good. I keep on getting yelled at. It's all good.
You can drop bombs all day long, but
put,
you know,
my hands back here.
Yeah.
You have a really good rhythm there.
You really have no idea.
So we want to make sure we give felony resources. I think a lot of felons, especially drug charge felons. I'm not saying, like, if you sold a brick of fentanyl, then, you know,
that's,
I mean,
a whole nother story.
I mean, there's a threshold where you have to, you know, people, you just can't embrace.
Yeah, no, for sure. Mm-hmm. But like, these drug charges, weed is legal now. You know what I mean? Why do you have a felony for weed still? And so, like, we want to make sure that they have the resources, whether it be therapy, lawyers, jobs, housing, all of that stuff. We kind of want to be the hub for felony chefs.
If you do something that's heinous and you're away, well, then you're away. But if you're at some point you have to come out, and I'm not talking about heinous type stuff, or, you know, we're not talking about grotesque sort of crime.
Right.
But all the other stuff. You go in, you serve your time, you come out, and then, you know, society says, nah, we don't
exactly
need you. And that's absolutely wrong.
Yeah.
Absolutely wrong. Because now all you're doing is you're forcing those cats back into it. Yeah. Because you're already, while you're there, all you're doing is making more friends. Yeah. Like, you, it's not like, you know.
Right.
Right. When you come out, if you don't have opportunities right away.
Then you're going right back.
You're going right back.
It's comfort zone.
Yeah. I don't know what the percentages are, but the stats will back that.
I'm sure.
Well, it's anything to do with mental health. When you're talking about mental health and you look at it and you look at the relapse, and as far as addiction to alcohol and drugs, that whole business, I shouldn't say it as a blanket statement, most of that business is for failure.
Yeah.
Because they don't really hone in on the why and the brain mapping that they do, what's causing you that reward mechanism in your brain that triggers you to want that drug or that addiction. You know, I have food addiction, and ironically, as a chef, having a food addiction, and I'm realizing a lot of stuff that when I was going through, I was eating my emotions because we don't talk.
Yeah, exactly. You
know, and my plight, when the reason why I tell my story about my mental health is because I want to make sure that not just men, but people know that you're not alone.
Yeah.
And the more we can talk about mental health and be as common as the COVID or, you know, cancer or the cold, that's what we need to do. So he's taking it upon himself to go the realm of the convicts, which is huge because, again, you got a repeat offender. The reason why they're getting repeat offending is because they're not given the tools to figure out what they need.
Obviously, you have to find people who care. You know what I mean?
Definitely.
And that's an important part. Like, those people should still be able to get help, right? But at the end of the day, either somebody's motivated or they're not motivated.
That's very true.
And you can't force somebody to be anything. It has to be organic from within. So and we were talking on another podcast about how right now you can find staff, but what you're getting is unskilled, you know, people.
You're getting quantity, not quality.
Yeah, literally.
Correct. And it's not talking so much poorly. If somebody's showing up for the job, like, you know, you're way ahead of the game at this point.
Yep.
But if they're not skilled in whatever it is that you need them for, God, there's a learning curve, man. And that's a lot of money and time.
A lot of money and time. And I think it has a lot to do with management as well. I think that the managers are just not, they're not managing people. They're managing a business. And you have to care about the people.
Yes.
If you don't care about the people, you don't have a business. And so, like, we create a culture. Like, every restaurant needs a culture. And so that's what we try to impose on any kitchen that I'm in. It doesn't matter if I'm at Pont, if I'm at Union, if I'm wherever kitchen I'm in, they know as soon as I walk in that door, it's going to be a positive vibe. Because, like I said before, we spend more time with each other than we do at home. So why would I make your life miserable?
Remember the other quote on the podcast we just taped with Thomas? I said that the Given Kitchen or Eddie Lee's Lee Initiative, 72% of the people polled didn't really care about the wage they got. They cared more about the communication from the leadership that was more important to them, as well as obviously the pay is. But they cared more about the communication. And that goes and coincided with it.
Well, it starts with culture. It starts at the top,
right?
You know, and if you're working for an independent place, right, and you know, an owner or a family, you're going to have a specific sort of culture.
Definitely.
If you're working for a big corporate, you're going to definitely have a specific type of culture.
Definitely.
Because they're going to you can't.
No, there's SOPs. There's
And there's no way around it.
Right.
And so with that, it's hard to find something in the middle. The family operations are great. We love to support the family operations, but they're usually very loose and too loose, you know? And from there, the professionalism is lost because, and not in all cases, but in many cases, there's just a lack of professionalism because it's all family people, right? And that they're talking amongst each other and treating each other the same way they do outside of work. But then if you go to a corporate environment, well, now you can't say anything. You can't look this way. Can't look that way. And, you know, everything is run off a spreadsheet. And if it doesn't fit into the spreadsheet, well, then, you know, then we're cutting jobs or we're cutting hours or we're cutting
quality
or we're cutting quality. Exactly. All of those things. So and in my opinion, both of those sides of the spectrum are garbage. That's my opinion. Not to say that big corporations are garbage. They're not. They serve a purpose. And not to say that family business, same thing. Like there's a but there needs to be like this move to the center. I believe that in damn near anything, if you're in the center of it, chances are you're pretty safe.
There's a woman who is in St. Pete. She has three different restaurants. I can't remember her name. Ashley, I think is her name. Amanda. I was introduced to her by Jackie Passenger from the American Culinary Federation. She actually does a mental health newsletter to all of her employees and sends it out in an email.
That's valid.
I mean, that's a leadership role that needs to be taken.
Yeah.
You don't have to be a mom and pop. Like I would think that the big boys on the block, Darden, who just bought Ruth Chris, Let Us Entertain You. They are the ones that really need to start this movement of, you know, the mental health aspect of and finding that work-life balance. And then the little mom and pops can kind of follow behind of that image of what they're doing. Because, you know, when I do my presentations, I ask, who's doing mental health? How are you doing it?
Right.
And half the room is like, we're doing it on lineup. We're doing it in, you know, a pre-shift. We're doing it one-on-ones. And then the guys that are not even raising their hands, I'm going, well, you need to get with them to find out what works.
Yeah.
But you should be having that conversation somehow, some way.
That's one thing. Oh, go ahead.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
That's one thing I will say about Paul Morrison at Pont. He makes sure that in his lineups, he does quotes. And it's all quotes about how we're going to get through service together as a family. And I think if we take it all the way back, even like take it back to Charlie Trotter. So Charlie Trotter just had that.
His book and his movie came out.
On Netflix.
Yeah.
And so if you take it back to Charlie Trotter drove himself crazy. Like he killed himself. Going for a Michelin star. And I think that title, and not just that title, Michelin star, executive chef, certified, CMC, CEC, all of that stuff has taken away from the culinary aspect of it. we didn't get into culinary because we wanted to be bosses, right? We got into culinary because we loved food and we wanted to cook food, and it has to get back to that.
Okay, but wait a minute.
Yeah.
Now, see me, I am a bellwether. I live in... So here's the thing. I appreciate creativity, and I feel like if you're a chef, then you're, by and large, you're a creative individual, and you need to be able to nourish that in order to get to your best, fullest potential.
Absolutely.
With that said, it's a business. Unless you're doing it for free, or unless you know you're sponsored, you have to make money, and in order to make money, there needs to be. And this is where I get a little, this is an interesting conversation because I believe that there's a weakness, there's a mental weakness in society today where it wasn't as prevalent as it was before. Now, I'm not disparaging anyone who gets lost, you know,
right.
Who gets lost.
Right.
That's not what I'm talking about. At the end of the day, you wake up. And you need to be focused on what it is that you have to do to be successful. Whatever the hell that is, that's what you need to focus on.
Absolutely.
And not worry so much about all the noise. Because it's the noise is what drowns you.
For
and
sure.
The noise is where you go under.
Yeah, no, definitely.
Right?
I don't even think it's just that. I think when you're in a depression, for instance, and anxiety comes with depression as well. It's part of the drill. When you're depressed, you don't find that. You don't do that. And it's tough when you're involved in it and you have that issue. It's really difficult to sit there in that darkness within yourself and not only see it, but feel that darkness. And I can't describe it. I put it into words and I put it out there just yesterday. Read that whole thing on my TikTok. It's about how you let that light in. And you have to be, again, if you're a great leader and you see somebody and you're asking that problem, that cook, that dishwasher, that busser, that server, you're like, not just asking, hey, how are you? Walk up to them and say, mental health check-in, how's it going?
Yeah.
You have to be that person to start that conversation.
And that is so needed today.
But we don't. What we were more worried about is the ROI and this and that.
Oh,
you know, look at the company like Chick-fil-A, all right? Yeah. They do everything right. Their customer service, they have all these people working hand in hand.
Sunday off.
Hello. You know, when I open up my butcher shop, we're closed Sunday and Mondays.
Okay.
And there's two reasons why. One, I get my own downtime to do what I need to do, and I can do the walk and talk.
Yeah, yeah.
But more importantly, my staff gets that downtime. I forget about the labor. I don't give a crap about the labor. Mm-hmm. You know, selling, butchering, and doing something like that, I can make enough money to stay open 7 days a week. But why do I want to kill myself?
Right.
And like you said, you were mentioning Charlie Trotter. There are so many individuals in the, you know, you mentioned CMCs. You see guys that go for CMCs and don't make it, and they kill themselves.
Yeah.
You see Michelin stars, that the chefs that lose their star. I had somebody recently reach out. They're looking for a consultant, and they mentioned the M word.
Mm-hmm.
And I mentioned that they're trying to go for an M word to my wife. And she's like, you don't want to get wrapped up in that. I don't want you doing something that you're going to take your own life. I'm like, listen, I never wanted a Michelin. I'm doing it for other reasons.
There's no point in a Michelin.
No.
I feel like the Michelin was
We need
just...
Michael here.
So...
We just interviewed Michael
Calantes.
Got it in Orlando, and he's like, "Listen, once you get it, you can say it. But once you strive to do it." But his intention was he went out to go get it, and he did, it the right way, and he was able to obtain it.
So, okay, look, I don't need.
You're not expecting this on this podcast.
No, I love it.
This is what we do.
This is what we do. I don't need somebody to pat me on my back.
That part.
I don't need it. Do I appreciate it? Absolutely. Because I'm a human being.
No.
Right? Do I have feelings on the inside? Sure I do. But damn you don't need to know about it. Mm-hmm. Right? If I need help, that's a different story. But the truth is, leaders have to lead. And leaders really can't get dragged down into the mud.
Not at all.
Because then there's no leaders.
Yeah.
Facts. Right? So, and I believe that anybody can be a leader. Even if you're the most delicate person in terms of your, you know, emotionally delicate, You could be the baddest leader out there.
Right.
Chefs and food buyers, let me tell you about a product that will generate new excitement on your menu. Fully cooked, pasture-raised, all-natural Australian lamb from Aussie Select. Their award-winning, handcrafted, innovative products are blended with the finest spices and amazing flavors. Options include agave rosemary, tikka masala, lamb pastrami, and lamb prime rib roast. Available sliced or whole with a long shelf life too. Find out more at AussieSelect.com.
I think you're more of a badass leader if you do express yourself, because it gives you that more humanity.
It does on paper, but the reality is when you're leading people, people have to look up to you. And if the people you're leading, see, you can't look at everybody as like they're on your team, because a lot of these people are not on your team.
No, they're not.
Right? They give you the attaboy, and then but they're sticking it up your ass.
No, for sure.
Or stabbing you in the back.
That's what I mean. Mm. So what I'm saying is, you can't show that. Because that gives all that does is it opens it op- you can have a confidant. We are recording live on a farm, so you're gonna
that's
you're
a horse going tra- to hear trailer.
Horse trailer.
You're gonna hear ride stuff. A horse now.
There's
some big horses, man.
You can have a confidant. You can have another circle of people that you can communicate with. If you're in a leadership position, mm-hmm. you should in no way be sharing your issues with your underlings.
Going out to happy hour?
Never, ever.
Don't
do
poop
it.
Where you eat.
Never.
Yeah, no, for sure.
Don't do poop it. Where you eat.
Now, if some of those underlings, you know, like, for example, I'll give you an example. I have people that work with me for me that I've been with for years and years and years and years, right? It's a different dynamic, okay? And there's trust, and it's there already. We already know what the skinny is.
Right.
By and large, you should never do that. There's a million reasons why.
No, for sure.
Well, you have to look at your staff and how long you've been together. I mean, obviously, if you've been 20 years together, I mean, that's a different story than 2 days. You don't walk in there and be like, I'm just a mess. I think also the leadership has to be that lighthouse.
Yeah, no,
during the calm of the storm.
Yes.
And there's a saying, you don't demand respect, you command respect. And I think that starts the moment you walk in, right? So, like, the moment that I walk in, you know that I am here to get the job done. Now, we can have fun getting the job done, or I can send your butt home. You know what I mean? Like, or we can do it like that. But I command respect when I walk in any room. And that's anywhere I go. If I walk into Publix, then I command respect. Not because I'm a bully, but because I give respect, right? So, as a leader, as long as you give your team respect and you let them know, like, okay, look, now, there is a hierarchy, right? There is a hierarchy. We do have a job to get done. I'm not saying I'm better than you, but I'm saying that we have to get this job done together. And you get in the trenches with them. You know what I mean? You delegate still, but you get in the trenches with these guys that are literally making your salary. You know what I mean? Like, sure. They're the reason that you have a salary. And so as long as you get in there, I don't think you have to be the boss. You know what I mean?
No, that's the wrong way to go about it.
Yeah, I think, like, the dictatorship is gone. But we're in a generation now. You can't dictate. You can't throw pans around the kitchen and none of that stuff anymore.
No, I agree with that. Although I
kind of miss that.
I kind of miss that too. I mean, you know why? Because it's character. It offers character to where you spend your time.
Definitely.
You know, I mean, I'm not advocating this in any kind of way, but there was an element.
I love when he prefaces that.
Well, so at a place that I worked at down south over there. One of the guys on the line, two of the guys on the line, it was like a maybe saute and pantry. I don't remember, but they got into a whole big fisticuff thing, and there were knives broken out. Like, it was almost bad. Okay, well, one buddy goes back to the car, comes in waving a pistol. I'm not saying that that's good in any kind of way. That's terrible. But I'm not going to say that working in and around that sort of environment wasn't exciting. And I'm not saying especially today, like, no, negative, can't do that at all. Like, you're a dummy. Back then, because nothing was going to happen with that.
Right.
It just wasn't. He was a dummy for doing that. But guess what? Like, nobody even freaked out.
Yeah.
You know, when you talk about throwing pans, you know, I beat up my GM one time, you know? It was a busy Saturday night. And he was drunk. And he says he had a pen. He had one of them cross pens, you know, $40, $50 pen, whatever. And he was stealing my pen all night long. And it's a busy night. And I'm like, you know, I'm a server, right? So I'm like, dude, like, you know, what are you doing? Whatever. 8:30 rolls around. He's on Expo. And I walk by and I grab from his pocket his pen. He was furious, right? So I come back in. He's like, give me my effing pen. And I'm like, no. You know, I'm like 20 years old, whatever, 21 maybe. I'm like, no. And I actually pulled it out. And I held taunted it. Yeah. And I was totally taunted. I was totally being a D-bag, totally. So he grabs my hand and he says, let it go. I go, no. I said, you've been breaking my balls all night. I'm not giving this up. So what did he do? He takes it and he breaks his own pen. And I said, dude, you're an idiot. Like, I was just like, I told him, I was like, he was like 35. I was like 21, 22. Anyway, he grabbed me by my, you know, like this. Man, I had him in a front face lock on the floor, a headlock on the floor, face down. And I had him. He wasn't getting up. Right. And this is like the GM, grown man. And he's like, let me up, Carl. Let me up, Carl. And I'm like, no. I was like, listen, I'm going to let you up. I said, but if you, I swear, I promise you, I'm going to let you up. You better be good. Say you're going to be good. And he said,
call me uncle.
And he was quiet. I was like, say it. And he did. And let him up. It was cool. Bro, nothing ever happened. The whole restaurant heard it because it was like an open. The kitchen wasn't open, but like the hallways to get into it.
They didn't go the walk-in.
They didn't go the walk-in. It was not. No, this was right
in
at Expo.
The middle of the dining room.
The dining room heard it. Everybody was silent. The whole place was silent. And I didn't get fired. He didn't get fired. No, it was never spoken of again. Never was spoken of again. And it turns out he's actually a good dude, but he was an alcoholic. He was an alcoholic, but he was a good dude. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no about it.
So anyway, this is
where we do the disclaimer where we do not promote violence.
No, man, I don't, and I don't, and I'm almost 50 years old now.
Right.
Right. Yeah. So I mean, I look at things very differently. Back then, it was
he's
aggressive.
2 years away. He's almost 50.
I'm 49.
Oh, you're four. Oh, sorry, you're 49. Yeah. I had you at 48. You're welcome.
Just turned 49
I wish,
yesterday.
Yeah.
You did?
No, you just turned 49.
No, that was
my
hairline
is not receiving
ago.
That bad.
March
6th.
Yeah. See, about a month ago. 2 months ago.
A 50 year old.
I'm no. That's why I'm saying. I was going to tell you. You look freaking great.
Jesus, I thought it was my hairline. I'm still bald.
You got a hat on. I don't
see. True, very true.
It's okay. He's just a year behind me.
Wait, how old are you?
I'm the oldest.
31.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. That's what I
know. So we had Thomas was 35.
Yeah.
31.
All these jits in here.
Wow. Jitterbug.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Jumping that out. Yeah.
You know, you got the...
Well, you know, we talked about...
Cherry cloth for behind the ear.
we were talking about this with Chef Thomas Parker. The generational gap.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How does that affect working with staff and...
Elevate your dining experience with Rack Porcelain USA. As the exclusive tableware brand for the Walk and Talk podcast, Rack combines exceptional craftsmanship with innovative design. Whether you're a chef, a restaurant owner, or a food enthusiast, Rack's high-quality porcelain products will enhance every meal. Discover the artistry of food presentation and make every dining occasion special. Visit rackporcelain.com today and see how Rack can transform your table.
The generational gap is weird. So like you have the old school chefs, right? I was Joachim Buckner. He's a German master chef, old guy, the worst person ever. He's actually really cool, but he just pissed me off a lot.
They do that.
Yeah. So he was definitely more old school. Me, my generation, the 30-year-olds, 35-year-olds, we're kind of in the middle of that gap. So we can relate with the younger generation that's in there now, the young chefs that really just want to go for a title. And we can relate to the older chefs who are, they've been there. You know what I mean? Like they're the OGs of the game. And so I think that our generation.
Wonder where I fit in.
Is the best. I think it's the best for the generational gap as far as accepting it. Because we understand. Like, we can listen.
Do you think the OGs need to be that more accepting of the younger generation and not expect them to be like them?
No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. I think we're doing the same thing that they were doing back then. We're just not throwing pants. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think there has to be any acceptance.
Yeah, I can agree with that.
Yeah, I don't think but, there has to be.
You're talking like OG. Anybody who's made their way and had some level of success, like, you got to respect these people.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean?
And, like, Chris Pine is a great example. He was just one of those chefs that, like, he knows what he's doing, but he wants to know more about the younger generation. And so, like, there's even a picture of us on Instagram right now where we're going through the tartare and he's asking me how to do the tartare, or, like, we're doing recipes for the spring menu. So he's one of those chefs that are just very accepting to it. And I think more chefs have to be accepting to accepting advice, but not necessarily the way that people do should be. I'm not going
to
stuff.
You got to be fluid. You got to be fluid. You can't be rigid. And Chef Pont is an amazing. It's
amazing.
And what he does is fantastic. Yeah, and all of his concepts are high end.
He's great. And he's a genuine person.
See, like, I can see him going. I can see him getting a Michelin. Oh, and that's what I was getting at. So Michelin. I don't think.
We find out on May 11th.
Get it. Get it. What's wrong? If it's going to hurt you, don't get it.
But here's the thing. I don't think.
What are we doing it for?
But it's I don't think you have to have it in your mind that you're going to get it. You have to set that level for yourself.
Yes.
Right.
Not facts. For a Michelin.
Facts.
If you set it for yourself, like, if I get this position with this consulting job, what I'm going to go out to is getting this to where, one, we're going to go to farmers. The staff's going to go to the farms. You're going to hear that passion. We're going to have that passion in the food. There's going to be a story wrapped around it. And every time we change the menu, it's going to be the same thing. Mm-hmm. The reason being is I have to set that standard because my name is on that.
And that is the quote I was about to say. You have to set the standard.
Yeah.
And your standard is not a Michelin.
Nope.
Your standard is not a Bib Gourmand. Because, like, so what happens if you don't get a Michelin?
Right.
And you just get a Bib Gourmand. Now you just hate your life. You know what I mean?
No, but that's my point.
But that's what happens when those guys got a Michelin. They lost the star killed themselves is because they did it for
exactly.
Michelin.
How many people? So we were talking about Mike Tyson, right?
Mm-hmm.
Tiger Woods.
Yeah.
You know, why venture into these lifestyles? Why do something where it's competitive if you're not going to go for the best that you can be? My point is, why are we? If you're going to be an awesome cook, cook at home, cook for your family and your friends, and don't open a restaurant. My point is, like, if it's going to hurt you, don't do it. If it's going to hurt mentally, I'm speaking. If it's going to be something where you're going to be affected in a negative capacity, don't do it. But you know yourself. Like, I know me. You know you.
I don't think a lot of people do.
What, know themselves?
Yeah. No. There's a chef that I won't name his name on the podcast.
Yeah,
but there's a chef right now. Yeah. There's a chef right now. And he was so gung-ho on this Michelin star. And comes from Chicago. He's a super good guy outside of work. But in work, he wants to run it like a military. But nobody respects him.
Yeah.
And so, but he put all of...
That's a definite right there.
Yeah,
off in the green room right now, there's someone shaking their head.
That's exactly what I'm talking about. But he put so much on getting a Michelin star that he lost what it takes to be a chef. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And that's the camaraderie.
Well, that's the same action as when everything turns into a spreadsheet and you run your operation off of a spreadsheet. Now, you may not be going for a Michelin because, you know, Michelin is extra services, extra, extra, extra,
right?
But if I'm just, hey, I want to maximize profits for my company, which is totally cool, but now everything turns into spreadsheet, direction, path, you're losing sight of the main goal.
Exactly. And what's the main goal?
The main goal is to serve food and do it in a profitable
hospitality.
Way. Yeah, but you have to do it in a profit, or else you can't do it.
Yeah,
you have to have quality. You have to have the service. You have to be able to perform. But the only way that is sustainable in any way, shape, or form is if you make money. Because if you don't, what the hell are you doing it for?
Well, no, I think for me personally, after 40 years of being in the industry, for me, what it is, I want to cook the food I want to eat, and I have no apologies about it.
Right.
And that's an Ivan Orkin. And I didn't learn that until I was 50 years old with my concept, with my partner, and I walked away from it. That was when I learned my self-worth. Once you know your self-worth and what you're worth doing for not only for yourself and your family, and then have the ability to realize that you're that good at what you're doing, that to me, when you go out and cook what you want to cook, you're cooking with love. You're cooking with passion.
I think it's worth nothing more than the money.
Right. And that's going to, that's inevitably, if I wanted to go for a Michelin, that's going to get me the Michelin star. That mentality of cooking what I want to cook.
1,000%.
I agree with that.
And I give that advice to any of the chefs out there that are thinking or people that want to become a chef. That's what you need to do. And I tell that. Madison, who was at the park, Kalina at Sebring, we were just talking about this. And she's just starting out into being a chef. She didn't even know how to break down a ribeye. And we had a bone-in ribeye. I'm like, hey, we're going to do this. And we had the cap on top, not even the spinellus, the cap with the blade in it, which I'm like, Jesus, I haven't seen this since culinary school. And that's in the 90s, before you were born. And, and you know, here I am, and I'm showing her how to do this. And she's like, oh, my God, this is so easy. Literally, we only had two things to cook that night for a four-course meal. It was vegetables and steak. That was all we had to cook. Everything else was set up, ready to go, done. And she's like, this is incredible. It's so smooth. I'm like, yeah, after years of doing this, or somebody last night was watching the video and I was cutting really quick and they're like, oh, that's some awesome knife skills. I'm like, I cut myself a lot.
A lot.
A lot. And that's what you have to do. But that's the passion I had when I started out and I got the pans thrown at me and all that other crap.
So it's the same thing when it comes to food service, outside food service sales, right? Because
oh Jesus,
it's windy.
Yeah,
is that a tornado?
Cameras good. We're yeah, cameras right there. Yeah, we are. We're podcasting live. At Club. All right, so you know when you talk about outside sales, food service sales specifically.
God, yeah, I tell you, if you're a chef and you move from being a chef to going into sales,
do you know
they hate you?
No. Wait a minute. Time out. Wait a minute.
I know I had to drive you crazy. I used to call you late night and everything.
Yeah, but it's
so 1 hour before
he's
service.
He's up at 3 o'clock in the morning. What are you talking about?
There's a reason for that. There's a reason for that. Hold on. Let me just unpack this real quick. You have, first of all, you want to talk about hiring chefs. I hire chefs constantly for sales because you know the hierarchies of the kitchen. You know how to use the product. Like there's a whole, you know, and if you were an organized chef or you were successful in your, you know, chefdom, that means you're organized. You got your little book, you make notes, like all kind of cool stuff, right?
Pocket rocket.
Yeah. So, right. So, from there, I would spend 2 hours with a chef before I would on a first interview. Mm-hmm. And I'd try to talk them out of taking this job because I know that chef has always had the owner, the GM, somebody who's above them hovering over them. You clock in and you're there and you're in this building and there's eyes everywhere, right? Well, now you're going to go into outside sales. And now I'm not calling you in the morning to see if you, right. You know, got dressed or took a shower. I'm not doing that.
Right.
You know, at the end of the week, I'm looking at your sales, like, or your call sheet or whatever. And at the end of the day, you give somebody who's always had oversight and you give them all that rope in the world, they're going to put it around their neck.
Yeah.
And that's what's going to happen.
Eventually.
Yeah. Eventually. So, or it turns into, I don't leave my house until noon, or it turns into, I'm at the bar at 2 o'clock. It turns into all these horrible scenarios. And then ultimately it turns into, you know, mental health challenges.
Yeah, absolutely.
And salespeople are notorious for having those sorts of challenges.
Right.
Because, you know, the day that you actually get off as a chef, right? That salesperson's still working, right?
Right.
Your sous chef or whoever's making orders is the one calling in the orders. Definitely. When you're home. That salesperson is taking the order or it's handling the phone call from your underling or whatever.
Yeah.
So it gets pretty rough with,
I don't know how you did it. Just as me. Me being one of your clients, I don't know how you did it.
Get ready to innovate and organize your workspace with Metro. As the industry leader in storage and productivity solutions, Metro is here to transform and organize your kitchen. With their premium solutions, you'll experience the Metro difference. Metro's sturdy and versatile shelving units, workstations, holding cabinets, and utility carts are designed to streamline operations and maximize your productivity. Don't settle for imitators. Metro products last longer and offer unparalleled quality and durability. Plus,
many customization options ensure that your workspace is tailored to your unique needs. Visit their website or contact them today to start designing your perfect space. Metro Shelving, your partner in organization and efficiency.
You're in a, listen, I had a chef. I talk about him a few times on the podcast. This is back in Miami, like 25 years ago. He was an English chef. He worked at a big hotel, and he was upset about something.
Was the diplomat?
I wouldn't even say who it was.
John Ersling?
No. So he says he calls me up one day.
John's a good guy.
He's yelling at me. You know, you effing this, and I'm like, I'll be right over. Let me, you know. This is like my beginning stages of sales, right? Mm. So I was a younger guy. And I was still, if you heard my story before, I had an attitude problem to begin with. Hey. But I was cool, right? Anyway, I go there. And I don't know how they do it in Europe, but he put his hands on me, you know. And I'm like, buddy, I don't know what you're accustomed to. But I told him some things. And I said, we're not going to do that. I said, I will help you. I'll do whatever you need me to do for you. Right. You don't ever disrespect me like that. And that was in front of all those people and everything. I didn't get fired.
Good stuff.
I didn't get fired.
You shouldn't.
No. But the point is, you have these cats who don't know how to operate. They don't know how to act. Definitely. You know? Now, I bet you working for him was tyranny. I bet you it was dictator, you know, times. But guess what? I bet you all those cats learned a lot of stuff from him.
And so that's the thing. There has to be, it's a fine line. It really is a fine line. Like the person I was talking about earlier, or a few minutes ago, he's horrible. But I can cut fish like heck now. Mm-hmm. But that's the type of chef that he is.
Yeah, but when you go and you're going to take somebody that you're seeing has that eye, you know, something in their eye about, yeah, they're going to go. I'm going to put them underneath my wing. I'm going to show them the ropes. You're not doing the same thing. And the reason why you're not is you're going to say to yourself, I know how it was to feel getting that pan thrown at me, the whatchamacallit thrown at me, or that. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to go and do this because it's different. We have to be the generation that stops the BS.
Definitely.
And we've talked about that a lot in the American Culinary Federation about what to do and what not to do, especially with the old guard, the new guard, the way the chefs are being now today. We got to stop the monotony. This whole thing of glamorizing the 95 hours of work, you know, you see all those things like, well, those dishes are packed up. No, stop it.
Yeah.
That's the stuff that we need to stop. What we need to focus in on is giving the people the knowledge to do their job and the skill set, because listen, there's a lot of skills out there that are gone.
And we have to get to know our people.
Yes. Yeah.
That's another thing. We have to know our people.
Well, you got to treat your
like humans.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, like you're saying, you have to know the individual.
You have to know that everybody's different. Like I might like getting yelled at. Yell at me. Make me work harder or something.
Some people need it, really.
Yeah. But then, like, you have the person who just lost his dog and his mom's in the hospital, and then you're doing the same thing to them, and then you're like, oh, that you just chew him out, and now he goes home and kills himself.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, and that's just the reality of the situation. Like, I hate to be that blunt on your podcast. I'm sorry.
Well, it's what we do.
It's not, trust me, we had on another podcast, it was the same thing.
So yeah, so that's just the reality of the situation, is people don't know how to direct energy. You know what I mean? You have to direct energy in certain manners to certain people. And if you're not doing that, then you're not leading. And if you're not leading, then what are you doing it for? Go home, be a home and cook chef.
That's what I'm saying. Right? So, you know, I have a lot of passion. Uh-huh. Okay. And it's usually controlled. Right. Right? Sometimes it'll break out. It happens. It just happens as for it sure. happens. But it's always for the sake of growing.
Definitely.
And so whoever it is, you know, like, listen, you know, I don't go out and get into fist fights or anything like that. I'm not, you know, not now.
Not today.
Not anymore. But it's not
5 o'clock yet.
It's still early. No, I don't do that. Like, I'm not looking for that. I'm not looking for that kind of action. You know
right,
what I mean?
Right, right.
But when it comes down to, like, when you have to stand your ground for something, and that could be principles with your employer, right? I mean, listen, I've, I'm happy that for a company, I worked 11 months without a day off. I did 11 months without a day off. Three of those months, I didn't even see my one-year-old daughter. Now, you could be like, wow, dude, that's like you're an idiot. No, no, I wasn't an idiot. I did what I had to do to get a job done, okay? And while it was incredibly taxing on me, and you want to talk about like a little bit of a depression and all of that, yeah, I hit the wall hard, man, on that. But guess what? I came out of that 10 feet tall. I came out of that with a whole new understanding of myself, because what I had done unknowingly was I created an animal. I was always there. It was there. And I was always successful in whatever the things I was doing.
It's called hustle.
It's building your foundation and forging it with fire. And that's what I did. So when I came out of it, once I came out of the funk, once I realized like, oh my God, what did I do for 11 months? Holy shit. Cause I was a mess. It took about 2 months to cycle out of that. And as soon as the focus came back, nothing stopped.
But you did that because you had a 1-year-old daughter. And you needed to do something for your family.
Even if
too,
I
though.
Didn't, I would have done that.
But was it worth it? So
yeah,
so
it was worth it.
I
think it's worth
10
it.
10 months now. I have a 10-month-old daughter, and I've been in Tampa, Aspen, Cleveland, Denver, all over the place, and I missed her crawling for the first time.
Yeah, it's tough, man.
And so, was it worth it? Like, is all of this actually worth it? And I think that's the problem that we do as chefs is we make it worth it to ourselves so that we understand it. But in all reality, you'll never get that time
back.
Wait
a minute, though. If we were all living in the jungle together, right? And there had to be a team.
I'd be Tarzan.
Fine. Okay. There would be a team of us that would have to go out and hunt. Mm-hmm. And that hunt would take days and days or a week or whatever to go do what we got to do, right? Mm-hmm. Well, how many... You don't think that they're missing stuff back at the, my point is we are here to do. We're not put on this earth, unfortunately, to live in some paradise Shangri-La where everything is given to us and we don't have to worry about a thing. We have to go out and provide and be.
For sure.
And if we don't do that, then your daughter, my daughter, then they don't get anything and they don't learn anything either. Because that sacrifice at some point in the future, because it happened with me, that you recognize sacrifices that family has made for you, but it takes time.
I think in the industry, though, even sales, vendor, or broadliner, farmer, chef, server, anything within the hospitality industry, most people don't realize the sacrifices we make.
Correct.
Facts.
Well, that's the truth.
I mean, 1,000%. Literally, the people do not know that when it's a Friday and Saturday night, I mean, I still have family like, well, we don't get to see you. Can't you take a Friday night off? No.
What?
Yeah. I have a private catering company as well. And somebody just asked, are you available on Mother's Day?
No.
It's Wednesday, like the week before? No.
Yeah.
They have this conception that we're there waiting for that phone to ring for them to come to us or whatever it is. And that's the biggest thing.
Well, yeah. I mean, listen, and that's the industry. You don't get out of that because guess what? If you're not working, maybe not you because you're a chef and you look at it differently. Normal people, when they're not working, they want to go out and eat, right? And they don't want to make it at home.
Yeah, they can go out on Friday and Saturday nights. I'd rather go out on Monday and Tuesday nights.
Nobody's there.
It's a lot laid back.
I actually agree with that 100%. But the point is, the expectation of the average individual is, like, we're on vacation. Like, it's a day off. I want to go out and eat.
So why is that the expectation? Because it's only expectation in America. And I hate to say it, but that is the only expectation in America. And tipping is the only expectation in America.
Tipping is another deal altogether. But
I know, but wait a minute. This culture that we've built in America, like if I go to Iceland, my mom just came back from Iceland, right?
Yeah.
And she was telling me about her dining experience. She always tells me about these dining experiences. And so she's telling me about her dining experience. She said everything was done by 6 o'clock. I said, what? And when do they eat dinner, right? Like, what the hell? She was like, and they didn't take tips. I'm like, wait, what? Like, what do you mean? You didn't tip your, what the hell?
Charlie was the first one that did that.
Non-tipping. Included gratuity and everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Charlie Trotter was the first one that played with that idea.
And so we created this culture in America because it's nowhere else. Like literally, if you go anywhere else, I guarantee it, if you go to any restaurant that is from another hub, it's not going to be like
You're
this.
Right.
Well, how many other people now want to get tipped because of the service industry?
I'm Italian. I tip everybody.
So yeah, we already talked about that. You have the little
Casa
envelope.
Casa Calenda? City's done by 6.
Yeah.
My grandmother's from Casa Calenda. City's done by 6 o'clock. Everybody goes home to their family.
I know. It's a different, but we also live in a place where, and I don't want to touch this. So.
But you are. Obviously.
Here we go.
The wheels on the bus go round and round.
The United States is probably the only place historically on Earth that you can come from zero and be the biggest thing on the planet. Okay. And the reason that can take place is because of the sort of culture that we have here. Now, I'm going to say, I don't necessarily disagree with shutting down at 6. And if you remember back where we come from, nothing was open on Sunday and everything closed early. But that was a different time.
On Sunday.
On Sunday.
Yeah.
But things closed early too.
But they also had no alcohol until 12, which was.
It was a different. What I'm trying to say is things were different. But this is the only place that you can really become from serfdomhood and become a king. If I'm going to put it in that sort of term.
I agree with that. But I think as chefs, we have to create a culture.
Yes.
I think as chefs, we have to be more family oriented. We have to understand that people have families. People
it's
have
to be
lives.
In the middle.
Yeah, it has to be in the middle.
It has
exactly.
to be in the middle, man.
Same thing you said when you first started.
Everything
yes.
needs to be in the middle yes. because guess what? Yes. If your ass doesn't show up and do what you have to do, the whole business fails.
Yep.
Right?
1,000%.
That's what Michael said. If one person doesn't show up, you're...
And it's profound. And so what happens? You know, we were just talking about this. So you're an executive chef. You went to culinary school. You have $60,000 in debt. You have all these things that are happening. And you learned all this much. And you 70 hours a week this and 80 hours a week that. And cornstarch here and cornstarch there. And then the dishwasher Swamp comes butt. In. He's like, well, I want $22 an hour. And you're like, I had to make $8 an hour.
Like,
and he's like, yeah, well, your restaurant can't operate without my 20, you know, pay me 22 right. or you're out of business.
That is valid.
I think that's BS. Not to say that they don't work hard. It sucks.
Cost of living.
It's I get it. But the dishwasher, as important of a role as that is, that shouldn't be where that cat lives forever. It's a stepping stone. The same thing McDonald's is. The same thing as some of these other minimum wage gigs are. That's a stepping stone for something greater, if that's what you want.
I was going to say, if that's what you want. In our generation, it was. Now, it's just like, if I can get paid $22 an hour to be a dishwasher, and I live in the projects.
To me, that's repulsive.
I'm rich.
That's repulsive. And not the dishwasher part. To just only... Now, I recognize that there's going to be the leaders, and then there's the workers, okay? Some people, there was a, this is a funny story, back in Fort Lauderdale, a buddy of mine buys a restaurant, and he buys it with the staff intact and the whole nine yards, and he was just transitioning. It was kind of cool. Yeah, it was turnkey. And there were some people there that were working that had been there for, you know, 15 years, right? And there was one specific person who he was going to kind of like, you know, bring him up to be the sous. So he goes to the guy, he goes, hey, look, whatever his name is, I want to bring you in. I want to teach you. I see what you do, how long you've been here. I get it. And he goes, I just want to make the chicken. I only make chicken. That's it. I don't want anything else. And he was shocked. I heard this story. It was hysterical, but I'm like, some people don't want it, man. And that's okay.
Yeah.
But you, that small percentile of people, that percentage of folks, shouldn't be dictating the entire economic delivery of an industry.
Definitely.
In my opinion.
Yeah.
But that said, the people up top need to respect the lower.
Definitely agree with that.
Right. And maybe there should be more in rev share back, and you know, there should be some buy-in from staff. And you gotta earn that though. Don't just
Publix.
Yeah.
Look at Publix and how Publix runs their corporation. You get
exactly.
stocks and everything.
Right. But you don't walk in. I don't think if I'm not well, I'm
it's like a year.
Yeah,
yeah,
exactly.
It takes a year to get
you gotta prove yourself.
Right.
And in that time that you got to prove yourself, guess what you need to do? You need to hustle. That's and you it. Need to show your ass and show and, what you got.
In 1 year, your life is set. But yes. Everybody's not running their corporations like that, which is the problem. Like,
but that's where the see, but this is where the focus isn't on. Mm-hmm. The focus is on these this agenda-driven tag word, hot topic BS that skews everything.
Everything.
Right? And all, what does it do? It divides. Instead of bringing people together to the middle, it separates and pushes apart. And that is what I think is destroying everything in this whole entire country.
Facts.
That's agreed. We've had this. That's it. In specifically, mm-hmm. That's how I feel about it. So
I agree with 1,000%.
When do we get Mike Tyson on the show?
Let's see. We can find out today. I got to go cook tonight.
I would be totally cool with that.
I'm pretty sure you would be.
Yeah. So there's three people. Right like I'm not. A, I don't get geeky. Right now, I don't get geeky on people.
This is right now. I'll tell you what.
What? So talk to me.
We'll set up a show.
Yeah.
Where I'll cook.
Okay.
At their house.
All right.
That'll be bad.
I'll film it. Yeah, we'll be your production
it's
company
a dope
for that.
Kitchen.
I'm sure.
It's a dope kitchen.
I bet. It's we okay. can be your production you company.
Too.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we'll do, what's it called? Recipe Takeover?
Restaurant. Well, it's restaurant recipes.
Recipe. Yeah. Restaurant recipes.
Yeah. And then we have the magazine.
But if you want, if you're going to be, if you're coming through, I'm going to say this here on live recorded radio here. Broadcast. If you have access to them folks, right, we'll make a show for you.
This is just getting started.
Yeah. We'll just make a show for you. It won't be restaurant recipes. Travel? It'll be something else.
Do you travel? I got a couple families in Aspen.
He wants to travel.
And one in Los Angeles.
We're gonna get
as long as they get sponsored, because this is a lot of equipment to go underneath a plane.
Yeah, it's
your show. I'm set.
We'll figure it out.
I'll pay the traveling fee.
We'll figure it out.
It'd be dope.
Yeah. I used to have a house in Colorado.
For real? Where at?
Yeah, in Cripple Creek.
Okay.
I worked at Park Meadows Mall.
Huh?
I worked at Park Meadows Mall with P.F. Chang's.
No kidding.
Yeah, they had five restaurants when I started with them.
It was 9,000 feet.
P.F. Chang's still around?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they're back in being private. They were public for a while.
That's what they did. People need to stay.
Huh?
I remember when they were public. I worked for them at Millennium Mall in Orlando.
I worked there, too, under... Kyle was his first name.
I don't remember which guy's name.
I don't know how you don't know Louis something or another.
I do know Louis. Yeah, he's...
Bald Louis?
Yeah. I know Louis.
But that was from our days in Hollywood, Louis. Mm-hmm. He was with Shenanigans like constantly.
Mm-hmm.
Paul, he played pool a lot.
Yeah. I probably got in a fight with him. I used to break up all the fights.
There was a time. This is the guy. I don't know if you were still there then.
I was there in 94.
This was in and around this time. There was a dude. He was a house.
I was 24, just so you know.
He was a house of a human being.
In 94.
He was a house of a dude, and he was there constantly. Anyway, there was some, you know, some.
Yeah, I know. Go ahead. Know,
some locals.
Yep.
And
he probably got into a fight.
He got in a fight. The dude comes back, and they crack him over the head.
I was there that night.
They split Louis's head open.
Mm-hmm.
It was bad.
Yeah, I remember. I was there that night.
Big bald headed.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah.
Over the good bar fights.
There was always the West Side. The East Side didn't have it because I wasn't on the West Side.
After Shenanigans, we would go over to Capone's.
Imagine if you guys had YouTube back then, you could record.
Oh my God. Thank God there was not social media.
The first time I ever went to Capone Flickerlight, there was a dude with boots, cowboy boots. And there was another guy on the floor, hands and knees, out in the front parking lot. And this dude with the boots was just kicking the crap out of this guy. The head going back, in the ribs. And I'm like, this is my kind of place. I can say, this is awesome. Let's go get hammered. This is awesome. Yeah.
I feel like you and Future would be very good friends. Both of y'all are toxic.
But I'm not toxic
That's
anymore.
That's great.
I am no longer. John? Am I talking?
He's not talking. He's not.
I am of a godly in a godly place. This whole show and everything that we're doing is through divine providence, and that's the truth. I talk a lot of crap, but that is the absolute truth.
I have a question for you, Chef. When you were talking about like how you were taught by the Master Chef, and when you're going to teach a cook. And they come up with something. Do you use that in your restaurant or on your menu, or do you give them credit? Do you tell them to keep it for themselves? Like, how do you deal with them when they come up with something?
If anybody comes up to me with a recipe that like fits the standard, then put it on the menu. Even if it's just as a special. And the reason that I do that is because it's creating that culture, right? So I want to keep them intrigued. I want them to feel good about what they're doing. And like it all goes back into we spend enough time here to where you deserve some part of it. I don't understand why chefs don't give credit to the people that come up with the recipes and the ego-driven, this is mine, I'm the chef here type stuff. Yeah. I don't understand it. I think that
you got to share, man.
If
it's knowledge.
Well, the reason why I asked that question, I was watching Charles Ashwett's the documentary Chef's Table, and I thought I saw it, but I didn't. And it was he had mentioned that he was working for Thomas Keller, and he came up with this dish and presented it to Thomas, and Chef said to him, "You know, if we do this, it's going to be a Thomas Keller thing, not a Charles thing. Are you okay with that? You're never going to be able to cook that again." And he goes, "Yeah, I'm fine with it." But he still cooks at Elena.
Yeah.
And then you have Rene Rapenzi over in Noma, and Bourdain was there before he passed. And they at the end of the shift, they do this whole thing where the chefs come out or the cooks come out, and they'll present a product. And there's, you know, Bourdain, and they're all tasting it. There's like 30 of them that are critiquing this one chef that presented it, had the balls enough to do it. And they were like, "This is incredible." Rene was like, "Oh my God, this is amazing." And Bourdain, being the American chef he was, he goes, "So this is going to go on the menu?" And Rene looked at him. He said, "Absolutely not. This is his. I want him to keep it."
Yeah.
Now we just said to him, "You've reached that goal for that to be on."
And you have to make sure that everybody around you feels like that. You know what I mean? Like, it's one thing for me to say, "Oh, yeah, I'm a celebrity chef. I'm an executive chef, blase split." But if the people that are around me aren't, then you know what I mean? Like, I want them to feel as important as.
You need to lift your team up.
And exactly. That's my point. If you're not doing that, if you're not saying to them, "Hey, that's great, that's fantastic, do you want it on the menu or not?"
You know what they should have did? Something like that, or what they should do is put it on the menu, but call it out for Buddy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because then you could, then now you're not just giving them the skill set or the knowledge base to bring them up or teach them. Now you're actually putting his name out.
Yeah. Or that's her.
Here's
the thing.
Yeah. Don't come to me with that or her. Of course, man.
My pronouns are yes, chef.
Yeah.
There we go. So, fact. So, but here's the thing. That cook now has how much more buy-in to you, the vision, and your restaurant? Yeah. Because you did that.
Absolutely. Like they're committed at that point.
Oh, yeah. What was that? All right, so
that's the end of the show.
That's the end of the show.
All right. We're out of here already. You know, are we doing a part two?
All right, we can.
John, how long is that hour? Oh yeah,
yeah.
There you go, Ric Flair.
Woo! All right, so first of all, Chef
Nature
Sean,
Boy
Sean Pay.
Sean Pay.
Chef, how you like that, John?
Schlissel Meister. John Hernandez on the board. This was a great show. Want Mike Tyson.
I got you.
Seriously. There's only three people I would ever want to meet. Tyson, Flair, and Hogan.
That's it.
I don't really care about nobody else.
We will set it up.
Well, he's already met us.
You know what I'm saying? All right. Gotcha. We are out.
Yeah.
Let me tell you about my friends over at Citrus America and their amazing juicing equipment. They're revolutionizing the way you enjoy freshly squeezed juice. They're at the best hotels, restaurants, and markets. Their mission is simple. Develop a unique consumer experience with on-premise juicing, deliver healthy taste options to clientele, and juice more faster. It's that easy. Citrus America supplies the highest quality juicing equipment and solutions in the industry. So whether you're a small business owner or a large corporation, Citrus America has the right juicing equipment for you. Find out more at citrusamerica.com.
Get ready to innovate and organize your workspace with Metro. As the industry leader in storage and productivity solutions, Metro is here to transform and organize your kitchen. With their premium solutions, you'll experience the Metro difference. Metro's sturdy and versatile shelving units, workstations, holding cabinets, and utility carts are designed to streamline operations and maximize your productivity. Don't settle for imitators. Metro products last longer and offer unparalleled quality and durability. Plus,
Many customization options ensure that your workspace is tailored to your unique needs. Visit their website or contact them today to start designing your perfect space. Metro Shelving, your partner in organization and efficiency.
Let me tell you about my friends over at Citrus America and their amazing juicing equipment. They're revolutionizing the way you enjoy freshly squeezed juice. They're at the best hotels, restaurants, and markets. Their mission is simple. Develop a unique consumer experience with on-premise juicing, deliver healthy taste options to clientele, and juice more faster. It's that easy. Citrus America supplies the highest quality juicing equipment and solutions in the industry. So whether you're a small business owner or a large corporation, Citrus America has the right juicing equipment for you. Find out more at citrusamerica.com.